This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Josh, all you wanted for Thanksgiving was a little peace, a little companionship, your dog, some turkey and mashed potatoes, and for all your furniture to be intact when everyone left. And you didn't get that. You'll hear coming up, there was a broken chair. There was a dog that was boarded. There was an email sent. Can you give us an update as to what we'll hear in the clip coming up? If their family has responded, if there's been any new developments?
I got a message from my sister. We've been playing phone tag.
Mm. So
another thing I noticed was that they left the lights on in the basement for 3.5 days.
They've been on for three and a half days.
You don't go down to your basement and check
after they
leave? I
never go to my basement.
After they leave, you should have went down and, you know.
I mean, turn off the lights when you leave.
Yeah.
But, so that was, I guess they think I have stock in Constellation Energy, which I don't. So we got 3.5 days of basement lights on. And
I'm going to make a prediction.
A TV in the TV room, the ceiling light is not working. I don't know how it's not working.
How do you break a ceiling light?
Yeah, I don't know what they did. I mean, it's so I'm sitting in the dark until I figure out what.
Did the bulb just blow out?
I don't think so.
Do they like to play with switches? Like, well, on and off and on and off and on and off?
The switch is also for a ceiling fan and also for a light in another room. So it works in the other room, but in this room, it's not working for some reason.
So, Mike, when you having kids, man? You anytime soon?
No.
I did see your girlfriend put up a post over the weekend. It was like you playing video games and chilling on the couch, and there was some wine involved.
What
and she was
this?
All about like the dink lifestyle, the dual income, no kids.
Who was? Oh, was this? Oh, was this Tangeray?
Yeah, she's like dink life. I love it. It's the best. Look at me and my man just chilling.
God, I envy it.
I didn't envy it. I was like, you know what? How old is she?
God love her.
26.
Okay, there's still time.
God,
things change in a woman.
Love her. Yes.
Give it a few years. You never know. She might all of a sudden start to get this weird.
Maybe,
little itch,
but there's plenty of women nowadays that don't. I mean, Amelia will be. Coming in Monday at 10. She's never had children and still
no
doesn't
desire.
Want to.
Yeah, she's got. She wants to travel. And what money she makes?
I think Mike would be such a great dad, and I think it would change you so much for the better, man.
I can barely like handle myself as it is.
I'm an idiot. We're all idiots. We're all just figuring it out.
Yeah, but you got better with age and fatherhood. I've become a husk of my former self.
I suck. Trust
I have
me.
Fingernail marks in the palm of my hand from making a fist around the clock.
If we were able to get in a time machine and go back 30 years and raise a child, that would be more palatable. But now in the internet age, it's just such a hellscape of awfulness that you have to guide your child through.
Like I know no one here besides myself really watches a lot of Southern Charm on Bravo, but there's this wild scene where one of the lead stars on the show, I think her name's Cameron, doesn't want to have kids, doesn't, but her husband desperately does, and he's like constantly be like, come on, let's have kids. And finally she sort of gets the itch, and then she gets pregnant and all that, and she's happy that she's pregnant. She's long since had kids. I mean, maybe they're even twins for all we know, but she's sitting there with her mom, and her mom didn't want kids and got accidentally pregnant, and her mom's sitting there telling her 30-year-old daughter, honey, I wish I'd have never had kids. I'm glad I have you, but honestly, looking back at it, it took a big chunk of my life away. And every now and then I resent you for it, but I love you.
Yeah,
Whoa.
To your kid.
Jesus. Hey, I identify. So coming up, we're going to hear about how Josh had his Thanksgiving turned upside down because of broken chairs, boarded dogs, and now we're coming to find out defective lights on Behind the Curtain. Mike, how's your Thanksgiving? Good?
It was good.
That's great. Let's get to Josh's... I got drunk, threw a donut at a 9-year-old, spent some time in the bathroom watching Muay Thai boxing. Scott drove all the way from the Carolinas directly to Davidson's Christmas tree farm, carved it down, shook it loose, took it home. You, on the other hand, not a bite of turkey, not a scoop of taters, not a forkful of corn.
Now, I don't even know where to begin.
The beginning.
Okay.
Take us back to last week.
I met them at the barbecue restaurant.
Okay. On Thanksgiving.
Yes. Thanksgiving night. It was about 6:30-ish. And it turns out there was a little bit of turkey. There were some turkey legs at the restaurant. So I got that. I was appreciative.
And barbecue places
this
do that.
Coming off of you wanting a traditional Thanksgiving dinner and even maybe suggesting like, hey, I'll get something over here at the house and we can just stay here and we can have the traditional stuffing and gravy and mashed potatoes and turkey, to which your sister says, no, they look forward to the restaurant. We like the restaurant. We want to go to the restaurant.
No.
And so you're crushed to begin with.
Yeah. And
so pulling up to the restaurant, you're probably just pissed off.
Yeah.
It's already bubbling.
Yeah. And I mean, for years, my family had Thanksgiving dinner, and then all of a sudden the past few years we've been going to this place, the barbecue restaurant, so we had Thanksgiving dinner and it was fine. And
have you heard Red Hot and Blue? There's pigs playing the guitar.
One of the problems is I'm not used to so much noise because there were six kids and the adults, and I'm not used to so much noise and so many people. So it goes from one extreme to another, and I get agitated. It's just like sensory overload. And
welcome to my hell, brother, except in my case, they never left.
Now, as you know, I have a new dog, Farfel, and he's a bit excited. He's a puppy still. And the youngest nieces are terrified of this dog. Okay.
How old are the nieces?
6 and 8.
Because I have the 8-year-old stepdaughter, and she, there's a sister in the family that has a basset hound. If you've ever seen a basset hound, it's a blanket with an opinion. That's all it is.
Its ears hold it down.
Yes, the gravitational pull of this dog's ears. By the way, massive Godzilla-sized paws. But the thing is essentially just a calzone that you can cuddle. Horrified of this dog, screams, climbs on top of cabinets. Honey, get down from there.
And I understand that with a 6-year-old, when if Farfel jumps up on her, they're at eye level. So I understand that she's kind of terrified. Yeah. But still, he lives there. Okay, he's a resident of the home.
It's his house.
So I ended up, there was a suggestion made that I take him to be boarded.
Oof.
Oh,
wow.
And
how do you go ahead and suggest that? I told you, I was in a house. I have a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
Stella's 4. And I was in a house with a Beagle Lab mix and a German Shepherd Husky mix.
You might as well just had a cougar run around.
And not even standing on their back paws, just walking around the house, they were at eye level with
Stella. Was she okay with it?
And she was pretty okay with it.
Oh, yeah, see?
And I would not have suggested to board these. Like, how do you suggest that?
That's my exact question.
Such balls.
Who's got the huevos? Who's got the matzah in their pants to walk up to you and go, Joshy, had an idea.
I couldn't separate them for the whole weekend. And I was more concerned about the dog, frankly, that all the screaming and excitement would traumatize him. And then when they left, I'd have some vicious dog that would attack people. So I thought, okay, I'm just going to take him, I'll leave him there Friday night, pick him up Saturday night. So the dog was there, boarded, while I was home. And so that really grated at me.
Now you're resenting. There's resentment.
Resentment
for not having Thanksgiving dinner. There's resentment for having to board your dog. It's all building up.
There was a chair was broken.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Break all this stuff.
I think it's called wicker. Is that called wicker? So it was torn. The seat was torn. So if I try to sit down, I will fall through.
You will just fully shallow howl through the damn thing. How did they break it?
I have no idea. I didn't witness it. I just discovered it.
Much like the stair and the glass table before it.
My theory is that one of the kids was on the chair and their foot, they were leaning their foot on the seat, and it just went through.
I bet they tried to saw through that thing with a steak knife just to get you to fall and have a laugh.
So I was getting more and more agitated, and by Saturday night, before they left, I went upstairs to sleep carrying the dog after I picked him up from the border, from prison. I carried him upstairs.
You're coming with me!
It's coming! To go to my room, to go to bed, and that was before they even left. I just went upstairs and I said goodbye. It wasn't a grand goodbye.
What time was it? Say 2 o'clock.
Like 7:30.
Okay.
I just wanted to go upstairs and have some quiet. And beforehand, my sister said, "Okay, well, why don't we have a family photo?" And I said, "No, I don't want to do a photo." I was afraid if we all got around and the time it took to get everyone together that I would just explode.
Did you just say?
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. So I thought it's probably better for me just to go upstairs.
There's a family photo in your house that you're not in.
Yeah. So I went upstairs and the next morning I thought, okay, I gotta speak up. And, I sent an email. I sent an email.
Wait, so they got there Thursday. It is 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you got Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. They left Saturday night?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so what did most of the Thursday, I guess so you had only really a day and a half.
Friday and Saturday.
You had a full day Friday and then like kind of three quarters of a day on Saturday.
Pretty
that
much.
Was enough.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Before you continue, I have never heard you say a genuinely terse word about this family off the air. You genuinely love them.
Yes.
You love the kids. You love your sister.
Yes.
All that. And you open your home. You open your schedule. And you open your dietary selection to them. So, you want turkey and gravy.
Yeah.
Instead, you got brisket and cheerwine soda. And then you type what?
So this is 6:45 Sunday morning.
And you had gone up to bed, and they just left while you were up there.
Probably a few minutes later.
Wow.
I said, Sunday morning I typed, "I can't have Thanksgiving here anymore. It's too stressful. I'm not used to so many people and so much noise. I want to have Thanksgiving dinner. My dog should be able to run around the house, not be boarded up. This is a one-way situation, and nobody cares what I want.
Whoa.
I just end the weekend feeling completely agitated. I also noticed another kitchen chair is broken."
Oh, no. Yeah. Go in.
So I'm not going to read the response in totality. But
you got a response.
Yeah, I did. But just the gist is, I got a response saying that, they're sorry I feel this way. They want to spend time with me. But if it doesn't work, then we won't do it anymore.
Well, quit breaking damn furniture.
Nobody meant to ignore your feelings, but the kids were terrified. That's why we asked if it's possible to board up Farfel for one night.
Terrified.
We care about your feelings, and that's why we come to you. You can come to us. They offered to pay for the chair, but I can't take their money.
No.
And I hope we can continue to have a relationship in the future. Sorry we ruined your weekend.
Oh.
I never said they ruined my weekend.
Now, is that sincere or is that them trying to be like,
sorry we ruined your weekend?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's if that last part was
sorry, that chair means more to you than your
right, cousin. Right, right. That is that some of that.
So I feel bad. Of course, I feel guilty, and I don't know what I should do. Really,
I mean, you've known that dog for what, 6 months, but you've known us for decades. Sorry.
Yeah. So what do you think I should do?
Oh boy.
What do you mean? I mean, you did what you did. I think you did what was right.
Can't unring the bell.
You don't have them over anymore.
Spend it with us.
It doesn't make
next year.
It doesn't make it also doesn't make sense. A listener brought up a great point last week. Why are 8 people hopping in a car to drive down when you're one person and you can just shoot up there, hang out for a day or two, shoot back down, a lot of less imposition. They're not invading your space.
Have you ever tried to put that many kids in a car? It's like feeding an eagle soup in flight.
Right.
It's horrible to
and
take my 3.
A 6 will come down to a house where there's normally one person there instead of you going to them.
One person
there.
It just
doesn't make sense.
Yes.
Willingly.
So I'm divorcing my family.
Good.
All right.
No, I'm not going to do that, but,
You categorized it as a nightmare.
A nightmare.
Yeah.
What kind of activity? Like, what did you do on Friday? Like, what was Friday during the day? What did you do?
We ain't do much. We just they just hang around. They don't really do.
You're just in the house all day Friday.
Are they going through your stuff? Are they touching a lot of stuff?
No. They play games, and they were playing Monopoly.
Okay.
And watching TV.
Any bathroom situations? Nobody used too much.
Oh, I haven't checked the bathrooms.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Oh, you got a glob in there. You got a fatberg in the downstairs.
That's the housekeeper's department.
Joshy, okay. Bit of a situation.
But otherwise, it was a nice week.
It sounds like a nice time.
How many people were on that email that you sent out?
Oh, just my sister and brother-in-law.
Oh.
Probably going to get another one today.
Oh, that's been forwarded to all. Did you see what Josh wrote us?
Look what Josh wrote us. He's known the dog since May.
We drove all the way down there. This is the email we get.
This is the thanks we get from Josh. Sorry, the chair was worth so much.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So it's becoming ever more obvious that our producer Mike's brain has gone rotten on him. He's suffering from the early stages of some sort of, I don't want to say dementia, but if there's a disease that can turn you into a villain, he's got it in its terminal. Because he's been just poking and prodding and messing with various folks for quite some time and gleans a level of almost erotic satisfaction from it, where you'll hear coming up, he Instagrammed, then removed a photo of Josh in a meeting, sitting quietly, waiting to find out how we could help Special Olympics Maryland, and called you a loser.
Yep, he called me a loser, and he said I'd be alone forever, and it broke my heart.
You better, boy, I tell you what, we always talk about the different eras of radio, the heydays of radio. I always like to say we finally got to sit at the big kids' table and all the food's gone. You pull that 20 years ago. You pull that on a Don Geronimo and watch how quickly you are working in a Shoney's somewhere refilling the ketchup bottles.
Yeah, you're working in a Shoney's, Anderson.
In a ketchup bottle assembly line.
Yeah, he's able to get away with a lot of this because we do carry very little ego with us.
And very little authority.
That may be changing in the weeks, months, and years to come, Anderson, so watch out.
Watch your ass.
I can only get so mad at him because having done that role for like a number of years and kind of being on the fringe of the show, not one of the main players, you're kind of looking at it from like an outside lens and you're kind of looking at it from a different angle.
The Chuck Bronco days.
And the there is a need for the disruptor. There is a need for the antagonist. There is a need for someone to just kind of shake it up a little and
Read the audience in the room. As a stand-up, I can read an audience and be like, yeah, this might go well here. This might not. This crowd doesn't want to be talked to. Put the sex stuff on the shelf. Oh, hey, the Jewish newsman who's already riddled with his own self-doubt issues that lives alone with a dog named Farfel probably doesn't need to be called a loser while he sits at a Special Olympics fundraising meeting. I mean, Mike, know your audience. You didn't. And coming up, we had the great 2017 social media kerfuffle on Behind the Curtain.
Oh, boy. Let's get right into the damn thing. Michael?
Yeah?
What happened yesterday? You,
Yesterday, 10 o'clock.
You botched it.
Fourth floor of the building, we had a meeting.
Worse than this woman's surgery.
Polar bear plunge is coming up. People from Special Olympics were here. We were getting debriefed on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
We all sit down. No one's thinking anything of anything. It's just a meeting. We're all like in the chairs lined up in rows. We all sit amongst each other. And the row you guys were sitting in was kind of filled up. So I grabbed a chair and just kind of scooted up behind you.
We've kind of squatted up, but not in the same row. But we always usually kind of roll in like a gang.
You know what kills me is they had enough seats there for everybody. But the people coming in towards the end actually pulled up chairs in the back. Like, it was a weird sort of...
let's not...
Well, yeah, I don't want to go off tangent here, but that was a weird phenomenon that I witnessed.
Really, people sitting in the back of the room, Mike, is a weird phenomenon that's been going on
for years.
No, there
were empty seats
up front.
Well,
they didn't see him, or they don't want to walk...
Oh, it was...
We're getting off track.
It was weird. Yeah, let's see.
That's where the cool kids sit.
So Spiegel sits in the row in front of us, down towards the end. He's a few seats away, and he's by himself. Mike takes it upon himself to take a photo of it and post it all over social media. And I don't remember what the post said. Do you remember, Spiegel?
Yeah, I didn't know exactly what it said.
What did it say?
It said, hashtag loser. Well, I think the headline was...
Yeah, there was a line.
Forever alone.
Forever alone.
Hashtag loser.
Hashtag loser.
Hashtag kidding. Hashtag sheesh.
Hashtag kidding and hashtag sheesh came later.
Hashtag...
Because when I commented on the photo, and I'm like... Because it was done from the JSS account, and I'm like, well, let's make known who really did this.
Because I run the Twitter, and you hit the Instagram. I rarely touch
the Instagram. Mike does. And I said, this is the courtesy of Mike Anderson, the real loser in this equation. And I don't remember seeing hashtag kidding when I did that.
Yeah, when I saw you post, I was like, yeah, maybe this could be misconstrued as...
So you did go back and try to soften
the
blow.
Yeah, well, just to make sure that it's clear that I'm joking, I'll put the kidding hashtag and whatnot. Because, again, like I said earlier, Spiegel's the furthest thing from a loser here.
Well.
So I thought that was the irony.
I didn't think much of it.
I
was very hurt.
Now, was there a point where the entire post was removed and you put it back up? That's what I'm hearing?
No, that was something else.
Oh, is that okay? That was Cartier Dad's link to his beats. That Josh, not a huge fan of Cartier Dad, he was just getting in that ass yesterday. I feel like it was funny until it just the hashtag loser was where you botched it. Like Forever Alone, we've heard Josh had that exact phrase uttered from his own lips before. So maybe you're just sort of regurgitating something he said. But the loser was where you.
Yeah, it's tough, dude.
Yeah, you should have stayed.
When did you first see it?
Well, I was tagged in it, so I saw it...
Immediately?
Yeah, pretty much. 11 o'clock, I don't know, 11:30, whenever I got home.
Because later on in the day, the post had been mysteriously taken down.
Yes, it was mysterious.
And we're... I had texted Mike about something, I can't remember what it was.
Do you still have illegal Ritalin? I texted that to you, I'm sorry.
I don't remember what he texted me a question and I was responding to him and then he goes, hey, you know anything about the post being taken down? I'm like, no, I don't know who did it.
Yeah, I deleted it.
Spiegel called our digital person or texted him, like, what's the password for our Instagram? Went into our Instagram and took it down himself.
Furious!
What was your mental state yesterday when you were...
I was just, like I said, it was hurtful at first because of the whole loser and alone forever, whatever the hell it was.
He saw the post and thought,
I don't like it. So I just thought it was like, so, and it's like, you know, Mike's nice to my face and then he does this behind my back.
He's a troll. He's really a troll.
Because
he's really an asshole.
Backstabber Anderson.
Yes, that's the word I was thinking
of.
He's
a complete a-hole. And he just, he you know, veils it in this guise of, I'm just,
I'd like some respect.
Disruptor.
It's a passive-aggressive thing. So as the day got on, the hurt turned to anger, and I was like, what the hell? It's the name of the Instagram is JSS whatever it is, and I'm not going to be called this insulted on the where my name is on the name.
Not in my own house.
So I was like, damn this. I'm deleting this. So
I drive a Dodge Stratus.
Grew throughout the day.
Yeah, and I'll tell you
scale
something
of 1
else.
To 10, what did you reach? Like, because when
I was
did you
about,
take it?
I was about an 11.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
I was furious.
How does this manifest itself?
I'll tell you what happened.
With you in your house alone, what are you doing? How is the 11 coming out of you?
It's just consuming my mind, and I'm trying to think of how he's hurt me, so I want to think of a way to hurt him.
So sadness turns to anger. Anger turns to vengeance.
Yes.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing.
Retribution.
The other thing, at about, I don't know, 4 o'clock, I went outside on my deck. The dog was... playing in the yard. The dog even knew not to mess with me.
Oh,
he was
wow.
out on the other
picking
side
up on
of the
your
yard.
Energy. Yeah,
he was like, I'm not even messing with him. And I was pacing on my deck, just pacing back and forth.
Breathing real heavy?
I was pissed off. And I was outside. I realized I was outside at 4:47. I missed the earthquake because I was pacing.
Consumed.
I was moving so much. I was so involved in my own thoughts. I totally missed the earthquake. Because of Mike.
Oh, my
Mike
God.
Ruined my earthquake experience.
What if your anger caused the quake? All right, that was a dumb idea. But still.
And then later on in the day, Mike tries to post a tweet about our intern, Cartier Dad, who produces beats, and he's actually very good at it.
Great on the microphone,
and he's
too.
Like, hey, here's our intern SoundCloud in case anybody wants to check it out. And then you see Mike posting something. You're like, I'm attacking. I'm just attacking. Uh-huh. Like, I'd rather rip a nipple off than listen to this. And then so then you were Mike's like, I don't want our intern to think that Josh hates him. So Mike takes it down.
Well, Josh hates him.
Yeah, he's worried. That's another thing that pissed me off. He's worried about how the intern will feel.
Yeah, but not
about how I feel.
Not about the backbone of the show. A kid that's going to be gone after the holidays that we'll never talk to again.
Yeah, you'll just willy-nilly call Spiegel a loser.
So Mike posts a tweet that said, if you want to check out his SoundCloud. So I wrote on top of it, I'd rather... Rip
my nipple off with a toothbrush.
Yes. And so then Mike deleted his tweet. So I thought, oh, okay, game on. This is some sort of a challenge towards me. So the next time he retweeted the same thing, I retweeted the same thing. Then he deleted it. Then he retweeted the same thing. And
How many times? Three times.
Oh,
three.
And then
it was like a tennis match.
And then like last night, I sent out a tweet and I said.
And then you wrote, post it again. Yeah. I can go all night. Yeah. Any other names you want to call me? Pics you want to post?
Yeah.
Up until that point, I didn't realize what was happening. I was like, oh, okay.
Are you trying to take a tomahawk to the chest? Because I feel like he's going to bring one in one day.
I was really ready to go out because I had to go to sleep at 8:30 or something, but at something like 9 o'clock, I ordered Chinese food.
Oh,
I was ready to go.
Oh, my God.
He was ordering Chinese food.
He's so
he
pissed he's eating up. Chinese
food. He was so stressed out.
There's pissed, and then there's eat lo mein pissed. Now, Mike then sends you a text that you don't respond to. What were you about to type? Because Mike saw the three dots show up and then they disappear.
Oh, you can see when you're typing, right.
What were you going to type and did you want to just make him sweat it out until today?
He started explaining about how he didn't want to piss off the intern. And I said something about it like, well, then... I don't remember exactly the words. I probably cannot say the words I used.
Oh, my God.
But it was something about,
Nate,
like, you know.
Instagram.
You're worried about the intern. I mean.
Yeah, like you just said. And I don't want to go all the way back, but there was another mini blow up that we didn't address.
You're dancing
Twitter
in the
blow
fire,
up
boy.
From the 16th. Do you remember this one with the Twitter competition that we had?
Oh, yeah.
He sent off a real hard tweet that we all just kind of looked at each other. We're like, we're not even going to bring this up. We were doing the Twitter, could see who can get like the biggest retweet. Remember we did
I got Gordon Ramsay, who we didn't get to meet.
And he said, somebody wrote, hey, you know, Spiegel's got a verified account. Does anyone, you know, you taking that into account? He writes, I don't care if I win. It wasn't my idea. As soon as I took the lead, I detected sour grapes. Others tweeted 7 to 9 times.
Damn!
I did it 10 times. Not much of a difference, yet I'm portrayed as quote-unquote going hard. I doubt I'll participate in any future contest. People tend to get their panties in a bunch.
Oh, yeah.
You go hard on social media. Who got the panties in the bunch back on the 16th? Do you remember?
You guys were having Mike was. I think Mike might have been riding your ass about how many times you were tweeting versus he was tweeting.
Who was that directed at? Do you remember?
I think it was just a general. I felt like there was some hostility towards me. It may have been my imagination, but
I think it was your imagination. You go hard though. He goes hard.
Let me reiterate.
You haven't even officially apologized.
I apologize. I didn't because it was not the intention of the. Okay. I mean, sometimes I go harder at Josh because again, I think he's top of the food chain here. He is the clear winner.
You know what Josh does around here?
We go hard.
That's fine.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have posted it if I really believed that. And I just tried to, I was being hyperbolic. And I posted the picture to our Twitter. And I from my angle and the picture, like it just looked funny to me, like Spiegel sitting all alone.
It's like you're trying to give Sam a job.
And I was just trying
to think
of a stupid hashtag to put on there.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So, yeah, people checked in on Wednesday about people being afraid of dogs. And I get it if you had a bad moment with a dog a long time ago. You know, hell, I've got every right to be afraid of dogs. I had a Great Dane bite my face. stitches, had to have a big piece of tooth fished out of there. And we say people. I think the conversation was more kids. And kids get freaked out to begin with. Oh, man, I didn't tell you this one on the air. You'll hear me talking about my stepdaughter gets freaked out, and she's, like, jumping up on furniture. Like, a week or two ago, I'm downstairs, I'm watching the kids, and by watching, I mean they're there, and I'm in the basement playing Killzone. And I hear, like, an I'm being abducted scream from outside. And I run so fast, I damn near slip and bust my head on the hardwood. And I run upstairs, and it was a guy that was walking his German Shepherd, and the German Shepherd popped off the leash. And he just wandered up into the yard. And I ran outside, and the dog comes trotting up. It was the sweetest thing. It was a nice dog. It was actually an older dog. He said the dog's like 13 years old, which is super old for a German Shepherd. But, I mean, she was inconsolable. Snot bubbles. Had to give her, like, a Motrin for her headache. She screamed. She screamed herself into a headache.
But right there, that's what I was going to get into. Is that, you know, this is going to sound stupid, but like teaching moments, like that right there is a perfect teachable moment. Like, look, I don't want you to go up to strange dogs, but not every dog is going to kill you. Like, this is a nice, sweet dog. And I think that, you know, maybe like with this new like generation of kids being afraid of dogs, it's like parents have inadvertently instilled that fear into the kids.
They've made the kids afraid of everything. Like, right. My kids are terrified of the world.
And I think I'm guilty of it too, to some extent, where you don't want anything to happen to your kids. So you hold them so close and you coddle them and you protect them. But it's like back in the, you know, 70s and 80s growing up, it was more like, you know, you would push the kid out there and, you know, the kid need to figure it out for themselves, and you wouldn't protect these kids. We weren't in bubbles growing up.
Yeah.
We weren't in bubbles like the way we put our kids in bubbles today. And it's like, it's the pussification of America. We talked about it, the snowflakeification of America. And it's like,
if a dog
comes around and the kid runs, if a dog is there and then the kid runs to you and is crying, and you pick the kid up and go, okay, you're reinforcing that behavior.
Like, here, daddy can protect you, mommy can protect you.
If the kid runs at you and the kid is crying, you should probably instead go, it's okay, sweetie, it's just a dog. Let's go over and talk to the owner.
Watch me interact with it.
And see if it's friendly. Let's go pet it. And then there, you're kind of diffusing that fear of dogs.
Calm them.
Instead of which you inadvertently, you know, picking the kid up, you're inadvertently reinforcing that fear. It's like, you gotta think, you know?
Yeah, let the kid figure out with you there, you're gonna be okay. And we talked to a lot of you, and we told some tales, man, that it sounds like more kids than aren't these days are freaked out by dogs when you shouldn't be. Now, ferrets.
Oh, F ferrets.
They're all evil. They all want to eat your face. Maybe soon we'll talk to people that are scared of fish. Coming up on Behind the Curtain. Thanksgiving comes and goes in the Spiegel house. He's down one chair, up one tersely worded email. And temporarily, his friend Farfel has to be boarded. There's children nearby, and being that Josh is as selfless as it gets, you said, yes, you know what? I'll board the dog per your request. You never told us, and I'm not sure if you feel comfortable telling us. Your family came over for Thanksgiving. The kids are a little freaked out. I mean, you had that gigantic 28-pound dog.
Lovable terrier.
Sweetest dog we have ever met besides Pumpernickel.
The more I think about it, the more it pisses me off.
I'm telling you.
The more insane it is.
It's his house.
Kids and dogs. Like, isn't that a thing? Like,
yes, it is.
It's like there should be
salt and pepper.
It's like potatoes and cheese.
It's peas and carrots, okay? It's hookers and meth.
Condoms and penises.
Yeah, whoa, yes, that's a great one. They fit inside of one another. You never told us how much it cost to board the dog.
$110.
Did they pay?
No.
They're the one that made you board it, the dog. They should have freaking paid.
Did they offer?
No.
Oh, wow. I forgot my wallet.
Now, I don't want to put this on you, Spiegel, but what measures did you take to introduce the kids to the dog and the dogs to the kid?
Well, before they arrived, a few days before, I said to my sister, let me send you some videos and pictures of the dog. So get the kids acclimated.
Wow, so you did. I mean, okay.
Let them watch the dog, because how could you resist an adorable dog like that?
And then when they first got there, though, upon the first meeting, like, yeah, come on over, let him smell you. Did you, yeah, do that whole thing?
I held him. I held the dog so they wouldn't be... And immediately there were shrieks of, don't put him down! Don't put him down! Don't put him down! And, yeah, and I had a gate up in one room downstairs. And I said, you know, you want to come over and you could pet the
So he was even behind a gate?
Yeah.
He was cordoned off from the family. Yes. The thing is the size of a volleyball. The dog couldn't be any more peaceful. I remember the first and only time we ever got to meet the dog. You brought him in here and outside of a little, hey, how you doing? Yeah. Kind of. He jumped all the way up onto my shin.
Right.
Just the sweetest little temperament in the world. You had sold it. The dog on us is being made of like nitroglycerin and cocaine, yeah, and the dog could not have had a sweeter temperament. And then you
have
to
board. Oh, I know how to pick them.
You do.
I know how to pick them.
Can I make a sound for you, and I'll tell you why I made the sound yesterday?
Okay.
Oh, your Twitter profile banner me down yesterday. Have you seen it?
I barely go to Twitter anymore.
Have you seen the kissably black lips of a one farfel on John Spiegel's Twitter page? Shut up.
That's him asleep.
He's got the pillow and the sunlight's dancing across his face.
I had to get a dog.
I just wanted to feed that dog Bush's baked beans,
great,
maple bacon.
He's awesome.
The dog's incredible. And the kids are freaked out.
So this speaks to a bigger... Is this part of the snowflakification of this nation?
Yes, sir. Yes,
is it, is,
sir.
Is that what this is? Is that what, is this part of that whole...
I couldn't wait to this, dive the, on a dog's
what
back.
What is it, the diagram? Do they intersect at some point?
Well, I've been trying to figure out how... what exposure my nieces had that would make them so terrified of a dog. The only thing I can
think...
Lack thereof. Or maybe, you know, seeing dogs portrayed in a scary light in media.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The media is responsible.
Oh, like, do they watch a lot of The Dog Whisperer and they've got some freaked out border collie tearing orphans' ears off?
Maybe cartoons. I don't know. But I don't know if any cartoons...
All cartoon dogs do is help you solve mysteries.
Right.
That's
well, because you have one too, also with going on with you with June.
Yeah, black
and
bean.
And the dog that she's afraid of. I can't.
Black bean.
We call her black bean. She loves black beans. She loves Mexicans.
Oh, okay.
Food and people. She's very woke, but we call her black bean peen. We love her, and she's sweet June. And this basset hound comes over. The dog is a blanket. The dog is a physical embodiment of a blanket. You see feet, a beehole, eyes, and then just cloth. That's all this dog is. It's not hyper. It's not energetic. It stays where you put it. It'll call if you come it, and it just chews on its bone. And she gets so effing freaked out in the same sound that you just described. She sees the dog. She'll turn the corner and come into the room and go, aah! And we all have to like, okay, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And even the boy is freaked out. Comes over last night, and the sister who owns this dog just is essentially treating this dog like her child now. Sort of like before you had Stella, and the missus would push her around. Same thing. Not quite as fabulous, but same thing. Brings her over, walks the dog around, and I'm in the other room around the corner. I hear the... oh, Christ. And I... also hear what sounds like creaking, like crunching, creaking. And that's when I turn the corner and she has crawled on top of and is standing on my dining room table.
She's like, on the table.
On the table.
Oh my God.
She's like
that's
a cartoon
a
where you
the
see someone. She's like this on the table going.
Like that dog couldn't catch you if it tried.
It couldn't.
No. Yeah.
If you put the dog on a go-kart and drove the go-kart for it.
It still wouldn't
catch up with you. And we got to like, come down, baby. Come down, baby. And she's standing on like a part of the dining room table that's it's going to crack and break. And I'm going to be down a table and down a stepdaughter. And my wood floors are going to get scuffed up. And I just refinished them. And I'm like your dog, like beautiful Farfel. Why? Why?
Maybe there's maybe some people are just genetically afraid of dogs.
Mike, is anybody afraid? Well, you pointed out before about people crossing the street when your French bulldog.
Yeah, and part of that is I live in a neighborhood with a lot of Indian people.
Oh,
India, I researched this because I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like, there must be something to the Indian culture.
Get ready.
Wow.
To lose the Indian.
Yeah, there
demo.
Must be a reason why they don't like dogs. So I looked it up, and there is a reason that they're afraid of dogs, because in India, there's so many feral and wild dogs that they have to teach kids to be careful, because these packs of wild dogs will maul you and rip you apart.
Oh, wow. They'll tear you asunder.
So they were taught from a young age, you know, to avoid dogs, and they don't have them as pets.
You know, there is some valid to this foreign culture dog thing. Because when I was in Israel visiting, my sister lived in Israel for a year with her 7,000 family members, and I found out that a lot of Israelis, a lot of Jews have dogs because apparently Arabs are terrified of dogs.
Really?
And so they use them as guard dogs in case a terrorist. Not that all Arabs are terrorists. But in case, you know, an Arab breaks in. And
they see this living security system.
Yeah, and send your complaints to Mike Anderson.
It was Mike Anderson that.
Damn it.
No, and it is, I mean, look, well, it's difficult. Like, with your thing, that's totally, that dog's 28 pounds. It's a sweetheart. I don't understand. I mean, you gotta get these kids to be like, everybody relaxes. Like I said to Justin before you were in here earlier, that should have made like the weekend even cooler and better for the kids.
Yeah, yeah, that's
they should have
exactly
been like playing
right.
with this dog outside, like throwing tennis balls
Hell
with
yeah.
it. The dog should have exhausted the kids. The kids should have exhausted the dog, and everybody collapses in one big happy exhausted ball. I don't get that. It's difficult. Like when you got, like I said, I was in a house with two big dogs and Stella's only four, and her face is like right next to their. You know, she's standing up, and their heads are right in line with her head, and it's like, man.
And she's cool with the dog, though.
They were nice dogs.
You're not having to fish her out of a chandelier.
When I first walked in, I'm like, whoa, these are big dogs. I knew Sasha, and there was a new dog, but he was a puppy, and you could tell right away the demeanor, and he's sweet, and, you know, he was fine. And after like half a day, you know, the dogs are like wrestling and fighting, and she's like yelling at him, like, stop fighting, stop fighting. You know, she was totally fine and, you know, playing with them outside. But it's tough. You know, you don't want these kids to be scared of these dogs, but you don't want anything to happen at the same time. We're talking about people being afraid of dogs, kids being afraid of dogs. It's just like a new thing with, the snowflakeification of America.
I feel like that connection's right. I feel like that connection's absolutely astute. That I've never seen a generation more scared of stuff.
Like Spiegel said, maybe it's just the media. Like a lot of times now, the only time you see a dog in the media is for something bad.
Yeah.
And the kids are seeing that, and they're afraid of them. And I mean, Keith was just in here. He's had like golden retrievers his whole life. Those are the greatest dogs on earth.
I've never met a dog that didn't want to attack Keith. Every single time he gets near a Sharpei, Chihuahua, Malamute, they just sink their teeth into his flesh, trying to do what time itself can't, and that's kill Mills. I remember when I first moved in with Buck and I had the cat. I think it's not even just a dog thing. I think it's a pet thing. I mean, you've seen my cats before, or you haven't. One of them just hides under the sofa for 23 hours of the day until it has to poop, and the other is just a large pillow with a tail. And for the first 6 months of living together, they would give that cat a wide berth. And I mean, it doesn't swipe, it doesn't growl, it doesn't hiss. They would walk all the way around it. And to their credit, those kids didn't grow up with pets. They didn't have them. I've had a cat or a dog at some point throughout my entire life. So we ask you, 410-338-1098, what's the deal? Why are your kids scared? Why are you scared? Is there a backstory to it?
And you always, too, hear about people having weird phobias. I mean, you think about people being afraid of mice. There's no reason to be afraid of a mouse in your room.
Right.
But, I mean, I swear to God, if a mouse, like, darts across the room here, I will jump back like a bomb went off.
It's the uncertainty of a mouse's path. A mouse, like, it's all scurrying around. It's got those little red, gross eyes. Plus, they're just riddled with bacteria. A dog, on the other hand, its mouth, cleaner than a human's. And yet, we're putting our face, tongue, and fingers inside of those things all the time. Let's talk to Nick, Anne Arundel County. Nick, good morning, buddy. Oh, hold on. That's not Nick. That's Nick right there. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Morning.
Hey. So I actually am just getting home and letting the most docile bulldog you've ever met. He's an English bulldog. He's not one of those American, you know, pit bull, whatever, things. But I mean, he's about as aggressive as a plate of meatballs. And, I have neighbors down the street that clearly have zero exposure to animals whatsoever that have literally turned around and run screaming into their house.
Yeah.
When I'm taking him on a walk, and he's not barking, he's not pulling, he's barely walking. If I stand in one place too long, he's liable to fall asleep at my feet.
Oh, so precious. But, now let me ask you a question that Scott proposed earlier to Josh, and you heard his answer. Have you ever done anything to say, "Hey, come on over, come here"? I'll hold him still. Why don't you rub his little butt? He loves having his head scratched. Here's his bone. Why don't you hand him his bone? You ever tried to acclimate him?
I have tried to kind of make peace. The youngest of them seems like all she wants to do is play with the dog.
There you go.
But the oldest in the family, I can't even bring him within 20 yards without them scooping her up and running into the house.
See,
and she cries.
And that's the fine line we walk, because I can't fault people for being cautious, because I'm cautious myself. If I don't know a dog, if it's a strange dog, like Stella has run over to strange dogs, and I've had to yank her back and go, you just don't run over to a dog you don't know. You have to ask mommy and daddy if you can go over to the dog, and you have to ask the person if you can pet the dog, because it's a strange dog. You don't know.
It's temperament.
You know, and you feel it out. You talk to the owner for, like you said, for 2 seconds, like, "Hey, do you mind if... she pets him. Is he friendly? Oh, yeah, he's friendly. You can pet him." And then, because you just don't know. So you do need that, you know, the initial caution. But, you know, whatever happened to man's best friend, man?
Yeah. And and thank you so much, Becky, Drew, I Am Cheese, all the people checking in right now. To your point of, man, you know, maybe it's the depiction of dogs and media or whatever. It's got kids all freaked out. Homie, we grew up with Cujo. We grew up with a mom.
Yeah, we grew up in the day and age of Cujo, Dobermans, Rottweilers.
Oh, man. What wasn't going to kill you?
I remember my buddy's brother had it, like a Rottweiler. We were like, "Oh, my God, he got a Rottweiler." And it was the sweetest dog on earth. He was giant and he was big, but all he wanted to do was, like, play, and it was amazing.
Yeah, I'm afraid of so many things, especially people. And I grew up, you know, like you guys, seeing horrible dogs on TV. But I'm not afraid of dogs, so
yeah.
Well, I don't understand. Maybe it is genetic.
And Sean Kane checks in and says, using the hashtag fake news.
Oh.
Boy, oh boy. Mike, warm up that mute button for me. A dog's mouth is not cleaner than a human's. Hey, Sean, you ain't never spend the times in the mouths that I've spent. They're absolute sewers. Yeah. So,
have you ever French kissed a poodle?
Have you? Huh? They are so fresh. So fresh. Wait, have you French kissed a poodle?
Yes, I have.
Let's go to line two here and talk to John in York. Good morning.
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 Hey, two things. One, I have an American Bulldog and a Boxer. So they are great for keeping kids out of your front yard that you don't want there. But show my son a Chihuahua and he will jump in the back of a truck. He will leave the room. He will leave because when he was 7 years old, he was bit in the heel by a Chihuahua. But yet he can play with two, you know, 85-pound dogs, but show him a little 4-pound Chihuahua and he freaks out.
Oh, see, that's, and thank you for the call, John. That, you had a Chihuahua. Sweet Giorgio, may you rest forever at the feet of Jesus at heaven's table. And was anybody ever afraid of Giorgio? Did you ever meet anybody?
I will admit he wasn't good around, like, small children. He got very, like, skittish and a little bit, like, nippy. And I don't know what that was.
Like, if the kid came at the dog, he'd get nippy?
Yeah.
Because I just see him, like, reel up.
Yeah, they were, like, smaller and they moved quicker. And that's the thing. Like, if he was a bigger dog, it probably would have been an issue. But because he was so small, it's just, like, he couldn't do any damage. But... Nah, he was the sweetest. I mean, sweet. You know, like, but like, you know, you don't know that. Like that guy, that kid had an experience, obviously, that traumatized him.
Thank you, John.
But it's just like Spiegel's nieces and nephews who come into this house and have no reason to be afraid of a 28-pound terrier that's just a little love muffin, and then Spiegel's got to drive down the street and board this dog.
Yes,
it's like,
send
what
the
is
dog
happening
to a Hilton?
Yeah, you're six. Grow up.
Come on. Oh, and Sean, as well as Ariel, as well as Ron, I stand in solidarity with my afraid of horse people. Good God.
They have human teeth. That's
and
the
eyes
most
freak me
thing.
Out. Like, with a dog, you can kind of, like, look into a dog's eyes and, you know, you can see a little bit of their soul, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, with a horse, you just look into that big black eye and you're like, yeah. What are you thinking?
It's an infinite blackness.
Yeah, when you talk to it, are you supposed to look into its right eye? Or
yeah, you can only see one eye at a time. Is it weird?
I feel like I could floss your teeth.
I don't want to talk to you. Yeah, a horse was built to bite your face off. Can't stand them. My ex rode horses, by the way, which is a real point of contention for us. Let's go to, we're going to have a good talk. Rose in Bel Air.
Keep this light.
Yeah, she is afraid of cats, but not dogs. Rose.
Hi, good morning.
Let me sway you, Rose.
If anything, I'm with Rose on this one, too. I'm a little bit more afraid of cats than dogs.
So, yeah, I have three chihuahuas. Sweet as can be, but you put me around a cat, and I'm extremely nervous. They're just unpredictable.
That's my thing. I feel like the unpredictability of a cat is is just, you just don't know.
Cats are assholes, okay? Yeah. And cats are very independent. But it's usually sort of like, I don't feel like being petted. I'm going to leave the room. I'm going to knock the remote control off the coffee table. It's not a, like, dive at your throat and tear your windpipe out
sometimes.
Kind of thing. Okay.
I don't know. I've seen them swipe at people and it just...
Yeah, that...
Exactly.
Imagine if a cat was the size of like a normal big dog, like 60,
like
70
a lion,
pounds.
Or like a lion.
Nobody would own a freaking cat.
Oh, no, yeah. No. If you had a cat the size of like a Great Dane, you know how...
Well, that's a mountain lion. It's
that's
called
a lion.
Mountain lion.
Yes, that's a lion. That's you're owning a tiger.
That yes. should tell you something.
Hell no.
Right there. Yes, exactly. That's a great analogy, Mike.
Here, here.
Just inflate the size of it. Would you ever have that in your house? No.
Well, it's like that dude. Thank you for the call, Rose. And you're wrong. Cats are absolute angels. They're more independent than a dog. Dogs are whores. Can you milk me, Greg? I have nipples. You see that one cat walking around Canton when you still live there? That thing that was like the size of a lynx?
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid of that cat. But that cat is also the size of a Rottweiler. That's a big cat. If that cat chooses to eviscerate you, it can. All right, let's go to an old friend here. Well, looky here, if it isn't Kelly Bell. Kelly Bell, what's up, bud?
I am terrified of dogs. Anybody that knows me knows it. It's been embarrassing for me over
See?
The years.
You even know it.
When you're 6'3" and 300 pounds and afraid of chihuahuas.
For what? Why?
Hell for
you're the
what
alpha. Experience did you have?
You're huge.
When I was a kid, and I didn't know anything about this, but when I turned about 21, 22, my dad said, I had backed off from a dog, and my dad said, hey, that probably is because of that dog that attacked you in Chicago when you were a kid. And I said, Chicago?
You don't even
so
remember
I'm
it.
Like, to this day, you know, it is completely blocked from my memory.
Wow, so you got attacked. See this?
And I mean, it has ruined relationships. It makes me nervous when they bring them to stage. And I've done, you know, I've done plenty of events for ASPCA and,
right.
you know,
parks
all that stuff.
And
I'm like,
side,
I'm happy to help, but keep the dogs away
so
from
you
my
don't even,
room and keep them away from the stage.
Not even at one point, like, throughout that whole day or something out at one of these events, you don't, like, warm up to a dog? You're terrified the entire time?
I have been on dates where I would not date the woman anymore because she had a dog. Because I'm like, I can't come over your house.
Even if it's a sweet dog. You don't even, like, figure out if it's sweet and will kiss you and love you.
You know, people, it's funny because dog owners, too, always say, well, you wouldn't be afraid of my dog. I'm like, they don't understand a phobia.
Yeah,
and I tell them all the time, if you could imagine yourself standing in a small closet and over top of you suddenly, you know, the ceiling bursts and you're covered in spiders and rats.
Ooh.
How would that make you feel? Well, that's what I feel like every time a dog walks anywhere near it.
Damn. You got to go get help, son.
I'm gonna say, that's why you and Lori didn't work out.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we got to play another edition of Josh Spiegel's horrible childhood memories that if you were at Uncensored, was at one time an Uncensored exclusive. You got to actually watch the video in person. And we played the audio on Thursday. And at the end of it, I kind of put a plea out there like, hey, there's been a bunch of these memories. I mean, Mike, what are we up to? It's got to be over a dozen, right?
Yeah, I think like 13, 14.
13, 14. If there was any one that you have done so far, Josh, that you would like to see someone put pen to paper to, animate, CGI, which would be one that you would like to see brought back to life?
The one that's...
Oh, I know which one would be good. Go ahead.
Well, the one that kind of is frozen in my head, but there's probably a better one out there, is the one where my father decided not to take the family to a community barbecue.
That's a good one, too.
That's a good one.
That must have really traumatized me.
In terms of
me.
Animation, I was thinking about the one where your mom allegedly took the bird of the house, put it in the car, and drove it to a school and walked into a school and just left it on a table in a school.
Yeah.
That'd probably be pretty good animation.
I wanted to see the one where you and your father had the uncomfortable walk, where your father, you and your dad went
Friday
for a
night.
Walk. The Friday night walk?
Yeah.
The puking incident.
With your sister.
Sister puking in the kitchen.
Yeah, that's
or TV dinners in your bedroom.
Yeah, that's... there are so many possibilities.
Mike, where can people find a compilation of these? We got these things SoundClouded up on our Reddit, something like that?
These are all on-air exclusives at the moment. And you weren't in the meeting, Justin, but we had talked about this a couple weeks ago about maybe doing maybe next year, a film festival.
What?
And
was I in the meeting?
Yeah, you were there.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. The details are obviously still, yet to be worked out, but we're hoping to
do never to be shared. No, I don't know. Whatever you want to do.
we do a film festival based off of Josh Spiegel's horrible childhood memories.
That seems like a lot of work.
Wow. How about this? This would be funny. We could do two categories, fiction and nonfiction, where they had to craft a video or a recreation, live action, anime, whatever, of a Josh Spiegel horrible childhood memory and something that they thought might have happened that they could just sort of freestyle with.
Okay, maybe.
It's not going to happen. Coming up, what did happen was we played another Josh Spiegel horrible childhood memory that you can see video of on all of our social media. You teased yesterday that you're working on, you do some great end-of-year compilations. Best of moments, some stuff for mashups, and 2017, I believe, will be looked back at as the year of Josh Spiegel revelations.
Oh, for sure.
As he opens his head, his heart, and his past to us, and he adds more pieces to the jigsaw that is Josh Spiegel.
Do you want to play a game?
I almost have a fully complete puzzle at this point.
I'm still missing huge chunks. There's a middle school chunk that I
enough.
Need.
I've worked on long enough that I put a lot of pieces together.
There was a lot of stuff I forgot. Like, you want me to give you a taste, one of them?
Give me a small taste.
Yeah, go ahead.
In elementary school, Spiegel made fun of an obese girl.
I remember that one.
I remember that one.
He shouted at her down the hall.
It was unintentional.
Here comes large Linda.
Look at that fat girl. Look how fat she is. That's what he said. He goes, look how fat she is.
Yeah, but there's so much of that from this past year. A lot of good ones, and we'll go down that list as we get closer to the end of the year.
Well, we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, I am. I'm looking the year of the Spiegel revelations between Russian massage artists, sisters getting sick in the house to where he couldn't eat with her anymore, things like that. Is this the same sister that just came over?
No, that's the my oldest sister.
Yeah, that abandoned the family.
And we have another one here. If you were at Uncensored, you got to enjoy this. This is another Spiegel horrible childhood memory.
And now, another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
When I was 8 years old, my grandparents came to visit my family. We were in the kitchen when my grandmother began to choke. The noise frightened me. Like I said, I was only 8. My father panicked and ran outside. We had a neighbor who was an obstetrician and gynecologist, also known as an OBGYN. My father ran 4 houses down the street get that OBGYN to help save my grandmother. A couple minutes later, two of them were at the door, bursting through, out of breath.
I've got help!
By then, my grandmother had managed to get whatever was stuck in her throat out. We were all pretty shaken up. I decided that would never happen to my family again.
Damn right.
So the next day, I found a medical book on my shelf. Had all the symptoms and diagrams and charts of different diseases. And one of the charts was for first aid. And for about an hour, I copied the first aid instructions and diagrams onto another piece of paper. Then I hung up that piece of paper in the kitchen so that if it ever happened again, if anybody started to choke again, they would have that first aid diagram. Well, I was very proud of myself. I knew I had probably saved lives. Unfortunately, the next day, I discovered the diagram had been taken down from the kitchen wall. I don't know who did it, but I still think about it to this day.
Damn.
More than 30 years later.
Pretty tough.
That is tough.
This has been another horrible memory from Spiegel's childhood.
Now, what's special about this one is what, Michael?
It's a video. And you can see it at our Facebook page and on our Twitter page right now.
Oh, yeah.
Or go to 98online.com.
The composition of the shot is great, too, where you're sitting in what looks to be a room that police would interrogate a suspect in. One single light on you.
Yeah.
Very dark, very chromatic.
Yes, our video person, Christina.
Yes, that's her name.
Put that together.
Knocked it out of the park.
A very good job.
Sweet, sweet Christina.
Her name's Justine.
That's Christina
right,
now.
That's what I said. Well, said Justine.
Just renamed her Christina. Christine Justine.
And hopefully we'll do some more of these, because there's another one, too, involving soup, if I recall correctly.
Is there?
You touch the edge of the bowl, and
the family member
wouldn't eat
the soup.
Because you touched the edge of the bowl.
Oh, no, that was ice cream.
Ice cream.
Oh, okay.
A food stuff.
Get it right!
Here's my hope. We put one of these things out there. There's a bunch of great ones. Mike, make a compilation for the end of the year. There's going to be a lot of people.
Am I going to get an Oscar?
It's in the works. If not, a Source Award for excellence in hip-hop. I want someone to animate one of these bad.
Yeah, we've been talking about that in the meeting.
Can we please have anybody out there that knows a thing or two about a thing or two that's good at animation?
It doesn't need to be like, you know.
Not even great.
I want it like Looney Tunes.
He wants Hanna-Barbera. I want this done in the hentai style with schoolgirls and tentacles and space ninjas. Just anybody that wants to animate. It could be like a South Park looking thing. It could be anime.
Right.
It could be a black and white sketch flip book drawing, whatever. Mike, put a few of them out there. The choicer ones. And just put it out into the ether. We got some of those creative listeners on the planet. I mean, you got everybody with these great Photoshops, and they're doing songs for us and shirt design ideas that'll never come to fruition. I'd love to see one of these things put to animation, because I want to see somebody animate a gynecologist that's out of breath.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we did an everyday superpowers discussion, sort of in honor of the new Avengers Infinity War trailer. You could see at 98online.com. That's sort of the culmination of, 10 years of superhero films are all being distilled down into one big event. And we talked about what are your everyday superpowers. I pointed out that I can catch stuff whenever it falls with my foot, and Scott's able to drink all the beer inside of a bar. Mike, I said, and is this true or not, that you could drink a level of whiskey that would kill an Irishman and yet wake up the next day just bebopping and scatting. Scott said he thought you were hungover and you were just hiding it.
I wasn't feeling great, but I wasn't. If I stick to one thing and one thing only, I'm usually all right. It's when I start to mix, like most people, when you start to mix stuff that the next day gets really rough.
The last time I yacked from drinking was from having two margaritas and three shots of whiskey. And the margaritas were not large. You had 15 shots. And woke up wanting to know who's on flapjack duty that morning. That's what I thought was your superpower. Of everything that we heard, was there anybody's that you said, man, I wish I had that one?
The ability to fall asleep anywhere.
Yeah, that's a great one. Mine was the parking one. Someone checked in about being able to just park wherever immediately. That's mine. If I just knew wherever I went, I could get a parking spot, I would take that power. Josh, anything that jumped out at you that you said, hey, I wouldn't mind having that in my life?
I was having a difficult day. I don't remember any of the conversation. Sorry.
I think one that I think you'd appreciate, twice as much meat whenever you order a delivery.
Okay.
If you order delivery,
yeah.
Whenever you order it, there's twice as much chicken in the General Tso's.
Oh, I like that.
And it arrives in half the time.
That's the one.
The same General Tso's that you eat at 9 o'clock because yeah. You're so furious with our producer, Mike Anderson, hence the scatterbrain, yesterday. We talked about everyday superpowers on Behind the Curtain. So everyone from coast to coast worth their weight in inhalers shoved their hand directly into their Superman Funderoos earlier this week when the Avengers Infinity War trailer dropped. By God, who isn't in it? There's Thanos with his gigantic scrotum-looking head. There's Hawkeye in the background with his bow and arrow. I got thinking superpowers. What's your superpower? Do you have an everyday superpower? And it really got started when we started talking about superhuman strength yesterday in times of distress, that weird maternal strength a mother can have to like kick the windshield out of a car to tear a seatbelt. Or you brought up the fact that a father's reaction time when it knows that the kid's about to get flung out of a swing set. The same dad who will drop a plate of nachos in his lap 2 hours earlier is able to catch their daughter flying through the air with one hand before she falls off of a cliff or into a pile of discarded glass.
Hashtag dad reflex.
Hashtag everyday superpowers. So we want to hear from you about yours. 410-338-1098. 410-338-1098. I posed a question earlier, and we received some responses. Trisha says she can find things in seconds that it takes her husband hours to look for. Andrew, the newest member of Marvel's superheroes, I can put babies and animals to sleep by putting my hand over their eyes and saying sleep and laying their head down. It's always worked. Wow, you can just... Are you sure you're not choking them?
I don't know what's happening there. But I do know that Sister Producer Sam has made her way in the studio to man the phones.
Oh, hey, Sam.
Join us in
Hello.
Studio.
Hi, what's going on?
I just kicked Mike out, so.
Has Mike removed himself from the studio, or you are taking it? How did this go?
Sam has the ability to take other people's jobs in an instant.
Yes.
Mike has had some very egregious behavior in the last couple of days.
I'm not sure. Maybe he went to go take a moment to, think about all
that
he's done.
Is he not even back there?
He just said for me to go and take his place. And so I'm not sure what's going on.
Sam.
He's collecting his thoughts.
Here we are.
Thank you.
Josh has the ability to get so pissed he eats Chinese food. Oh, yes. Miss Morgan, I can always hear a cell phone ring no matter where it is in the house. Once found a husband's lost phone in a storage bin behind the basket. When other people can't hear, she can hear.
This isn't really a superpower, but it's a parental power that comes that when the house gets too quiet, you know something's up.
Yes, you detect anger. You detect...
No, you just know...
Or a danger.
Yeah, you hear, stuff rummaging and rattling, and then all of a sudden it gets dead quiet. And you go...
What are you doing? I was just using the scissors to cut up this rug. What? Oh, God.
It's too quiet. And they're intensely fixated on something they're doing. You're like, okay.
Okay.
They're doing something wrong.
Mr. Stark, I detect that a young girl by the name of Stella is about to cut off a pinky finger with kitchen shears. You should go check on her, Mr. Stark.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people that should probably just team up with Fart Force 5. Both Mick Black and Randy Cameron says they can clear entire rooms. Entire rooms on, with man. One fart. Yes. Sam, do you have any of your own outside of instant employment for other people's botches?
I was trying to think of some, and I feel like I have a lot, but I don't know any of them. Off the top of my head.
I know that my friend, shout out if you're listening, Dave Furlongy from Waldorf, Maryland. I've never met a man that when he needs to look for a lighter, we'll find one, like Dave. We could be in the middle of the woods and he'll roll a log over and there's his info waiting for him. The man can find a lighter in any climate, any time zone in the country. Mine I've been talking about all morning. If anything happens to accidentally fall near me, I can't plan it. But if something accidentally drops near me, I have the ability to catch it with my foot. Got that. Mike Mancelli can produce a fart at a moment's notice.
God, I wish I had that superpower.
God, that is a true, like Will the Farter.
I'm coming, Nick Fury!
410-338-1098, 410-338-1098. Give us a ring coming up at a sports with Mills. We're going to talk to the Cats on the Baltimore Blast with him, 410-338-1098, and at JSS98Rock. Okay, so you're probably not going to join Steve Rogers, Tony Stark, Thor.
Well, this is a good one. I wish I had this one. I never have this superpower.
Save it. Save it.
Always, I'll just say, I can always get a parking spot in a filled parking lot.
Oh!
Yeah.
See? That
it happens for people like that. Some people just get it.
You just get it at all times. That is a superpower.
And we're talking everyday superpowers.
Yeah, what do you got?
Got a lot of cool texts over here.
Yeah, you only got to greet some off to me.
Sleep anytime, anywhere. I envy
amazing.
That superpower.
Amazing.
Those people that just nod off anywhere, middle of a bowling alley. I always know the exact thing to say to make someone 10 out of 10 angry. I'm an a-hole.
Okay. That's coming from Mike checking in with us. I have the ability to make work situations uncomfortable. When I go to the bathroom during breaks, think I'm in a hallway by myself, turn the corner, and there's a sales girl on the phone. Sorry about that.
I can motorboat myself.
Whoa.
Wow.
Is that a hero?
Might have to get you in studio.
Or a villain.
Part of my dreams allow me to see little pieces of the future.
Okay, that's actually a real one. That's like, that's a real, real one.
Another texter says they have the ability to make beer disappear. I have that superpower
as well. Scott shares that power with you.
I have the power to make any woman I've ever been with feel incredibly insecure about themselves.
Wow.
I'm known as the dirtbag.
Damn. That's rough.
I'm a horrible person.
Yeah, and one last superpower before we go to the phones. I can get ready to leave the house in 1.5 minutes while my wife takes at least an hour.
It's pretty incredible.
The ability to get ready fast. I have that superpower, too.
Dr. Glitz says, at JSS98Rock, I inherited a superpower from my mom. People just want to talk to us. Anyone, anywhere will start talking to us like they've known us forever. Just people wander up to them and just start saying, hey, how you been?
This is a good superpower. The ability to always be hungry.
Oh, yes.
I have that superpower.
We also believe that. Yes. Oh, wow. Trevor says, I have the ability to make the long stay. The long stay.
My number two does not look like a number two.
A minimum of 5 times a day.
Oof.
That is
a doctor.
An issue that you should get looked at. I can always find a coupon in the bottom of my bag, says Jacqueline, that exactly matches the item that I make an impulse purchase on. She just grabs a Snickers, finds herself a Snickers coupon. Jackie says, I can get virtually any stain out of any carpet. Proper moments include dry wax, nail polish, chocolate, red wine. I once spilled a bottle of Hawaiian Punch on new white carpet and removed it in minutes without anyone noticing.
Stop being so clumsy. How about that?
Yeah, you're sort of a villain and a hero because you are dropping a lot of stuff on the carpet. My buddy gets stuff for free. One time he went to Best Buy to exchange some blown speakers for new ones. Left with his money back, and they gave him new speakers. I think he stole those speakers. Your friend is just a thief. Man, we're getting so many in right now. I can drink, never get hungover. I can drink to the point of what people would call a binge, says Satan watching.
Whoa. I've heard about people like that.
Yeah, Mike Anderson at the cabin trip. He drank 15 shots of Jack Daniels in
one
night.
He was hungover.
He got up before everybody and was downstairs making pierogies.
Yeah, because he had a pounding headache.
Ah, gotcha. Well, he didn't show it. I think he did a great job. Let's go to Fat Chris, the newest member of the Fat Vengers. Fat Chris.
I have the ability to make anybody that visits a buffet with me extremely pissed.
Damn.
There you go. There you go.
Hence the name Fat Chris.
I want to leave.
Oh, wow. There you go. Fat Chris checking in.
You've been here 4 hours.
You've been here. Go. You eat all the crab legs. Let's go to Phaedra in Pilesville. Phaedra.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
My little girl, we were at the top of the steps, and she said, "Look, Mommy, I can fly." And she went and tried to jump off the top of the steps, and I caught her in midair.
Mom reflexes.
Mom reflexes,
Mom
baby. Mom reflexes. She's known as the matron. Let's go to Blind Mike, who can't see anything yet uses sonar. Blind Mike, good morning.
Hey.
Hey.
How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I've got this uncanny power to just bump into anybody, anywhere.
It feels like he's somewhere near something. He can sense it. I was right. Thank you, Blind Mike. All right, here's somebody right here that you want to take into battle with you. What's your everyday superpower? Colin in Bel Air.
Hey guys, good morning. And that Infinity War trailer is amazing.
Woo!
But I've been doing martial arts since I was 3 years old. I'm 28 now. Had to use my superpower, as I like to call it, maybe a handful of times to defend myself. But I love doing it. It's awesome.
So you just know karate. I mean, you're like good at
karate. I know Taekwondo, and I know Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay. You're just a badass. That's all that is. I'll take it, though. I'll take it. You'll be the one that goes into the battle. All right? I'll be in the back just catching stuff with my foot. Scott will be polishing off beers. Josh will get so Hulk pissed. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Why? Because I eat a lot of Chinese food.
I'm really good at making friends with anyone I meet. Does that count as a superpower? Yes.
Yes, that is. You have a social superpower.
I wish I could do
that. Kara says, I can find four-leaf clovers anywhere. No matter where she looks.
Whoa.
I've never found one in my life. And they can find four-leaf clovers. Icy has the ability to find every person on the road that goes 10 miles per hour slower than the speed limit and end up behind them.
Yep.
Damn. And King Ryan McBride can clear an entire pro wrestling locker room with one mere fart.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
The great earthquake of 2017, it struck Thursday. We talked about it Friday, and I'm still bummed out that I didn't get a chance to experience it. And I know that sounds strange, you want to experience a natural disaster. And I came close to experiencing one in the mid-90s when there was a tornado sighting in southern Maryland and my mom threw us all in the bathtub and put, like, couch cushions over us. But I want to feel the earth shake beneath my feet, but just like a 4.1, not like an 8.1 that's going to swallow me into the earth's core.
Yeah, if you missed the earthquake, I missed it too. I think Scott missed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic case of feeling left out. And there's a whole phenomenon. What is it called?
FOMO.
FOMO.
Yeah,
FOMO.
You're missing out. FOMO. I was going to say MF-er, but it is
okay.
FOMO.
MF Mike.
So that's the fear. What's the actual, the actual thing is Mo.
Mo. Missing out.
Mo.
Missing out. That's what I am. Mo. Missing out.
The thing that struck me was the... And it's just the world we live in now, and it's been this way for a while, but the way the news spreads so instantaneous.
Yeah.
For some reason with the earthquake, that really like hit home with me. I was like, because it's something that everybody can, you know, have fun with or latch onto, and it was like, I went on Facebook the minute it happened. I got an alert on my phone. It was all over the place, and it's all over Twitter, and then you go to like Facebook, and it's just like, brrr, like immediate. It was like, whoa.
Yeah, you would have to have waited days, weeks back in the day to find out from geologists that got the news to the paper prints it out. And already we're getting the conspiracy theorists that where the epicenter of the earthquake was, there's some military base there. They're doing some sort of testing underground, sort of like how North Korea just loves to nuke its own mountains. We're blowing up something underneath of the surface of the earth in Dover, Delaware, the first state. Well, you got to experience it. We didn't. We're pissed. The earthquake, 2017, on Behind the Curtain. The day everything changed. Yesterday, a rare 4.1 earthquake struck Delaware, felt from Maryland all the way to New York by everyone we know except for us. Not only do we not get to meet Gordon Ramsay, we don't get to feel earthquakes. Are we on an earthquake list somewhere also? The United States Geological Survey reported that the earthquake struck around 4:47 p.m. Epicenter was centered 6 miles to the northeast of Dover, Delaware, shook several states along the east coast of the United States that are not used to experiencing earthquakes in this usually geologically stable part of the world. Let's rampantly and uninformedly speculate. Is this global warming? Is this because of net neutrality? I'll let you decide as we march towards the end of days.
Yeah, I didn't feel anything.
Me, I got nothing. I felt nothing. And literally everyone that I knew was like, "Did you feel the quake?" I got a text from.
I also didn't get any texts.
I got a text from.
I feel like a loser. Not one person was like, "Whoa, bro!
Whoa,
what's up?
Did you feel that?"
Just nothing.
It really. If you missed it, you really felt left out. It was basically how I've felt for most of my life. Now everybody who
knows how you feel,
yes,
I felt that yesterday.
Not to make it about me, but
yes, not even earthquakes spend time with Josh. Oh my God, Josh can't get an earthquake to hang out with him. Hey, Mr. Earthquake, you want to hang out today?
No, but it was really you really felt left out. Yeah. And everybody was like, hey,
whoa. Great. Hey. God, you would have thought that Wyckoff was broadcasting live from Dover, Delaware, standing atop a 500-foot-tall shaky Lego pole.
Yeah, it's a natural disaster, okay? You don't celebrate natural disasters.
And this isn't like some 9.4 tsunami-starting Japanese deathquake that's going to erase a coastal town. This was something that shook the pizza pocket out of your hand for a couple of moments or made you hit the wrong key on the keyboard as you went to put your password in. But yeah, here's some of our contemporaries. Tony Pan tweets, "Yes, Baltimore, that was an earthquake centered in Delaware. Hashtag WBAL. Hashtag earthquake." Let's head over to Scott Wyckoff's page, who is usually right on top of this stuff.
I was just amazed on Facebook with the speed and veracity which with the posts came. I mean, within a minute, it was just like, brrr, memes and,
earthquake early. I was like, oh my God.
Scott Wyckoff reporting live on WBAL radio from northern Baltimore County, where the U.S. Geological Survey has reported a 4.1 earthquake centered in Delaware, felt by plenty of folks. Hashtag earthquake 2017. Yeah, I felt nothing. I got squat. I was just a little. I mean, Christy Breslin's talking about it over on Jay-Z. You got Marty Bass is bringing it up.
I found a song called Earthquake, and I think Spiegel will like it.
Yeah,
would you like to hear it?
Hit it.
An earthquake is the perceptible shaking of the surface of the earth, which can be violent enough to destroy major buildings and kill thousands of people. The severity of the shaking can be barely felt or violent enough to toss people around. People often confuse earthquakes for Tamanite gigs, but that's okay.
God, this sounds like the selection screen for a fighting game.
My toes are curling.
Player one chooses tsunami. Player two, earthquake.
Where's the drop?
Oh, it's coming. Mike, you're good at this stuff. When's the drop coming?
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Wait for it. Four more measures.
What's a measure?
I don't know. But here it comes, because I think it's about to drop.
Oh, wow. Wait, that's really not
going up.
Come on.
Still going up. Ah! Drop already. It's all going to hell.
Earthquake.
The 2004 deathquake.
Earthquake.
Everyone's posting the chair photo over and over.
Wow.
4.1.
Is this still a thing, Mike?
It's no, I don't think so.
This music.
It's transparent. UDM always does. It constantly morphs into something different and new.
Earthquake, baby!
Oh, God. It's when everything changed.
Now, is there any footage Spiegel leaking out about? Like, normally you see, like, some stuff shaking.
Yeah,
I haven't seen any stuff shaking.
A lot of shaking
Somebody
going on.
Said that they lost a Christmas card in the earthquake.
Oh,
they,
no.
They had it set up.
Like, it disappeared?
No, they had it set up on their one of their dressers.
Oh, God. Card, Michael J. was standing still.
And it fell over. Christmas card fell over.
Oh, my God. I was to be told by the gentleman whose daughter we babysit that not only did his monitor shake and his coffee cup began to rattle, a pencil did roll off the desk. Now, as
now, before
of my
we
last
make fun,
check,
no one was injured.
Is it?
Right?
No. All right, we're back. All right, so yeah, no one like, even tweaked an ankle.
What?
There's like not even anybody like stubbed a toe or nothing.
No. Oh, as no, far no. as you know, there were no reported injuries. But my favorite videos from quakes in general are from the grocery stores when everything.
That's what I'm saying. Do we have the grocery store footage?
I don't know if we have. I heard that there were
a bottle of Pert Plus.
Yeah, there were some shaking videos.
There was a box of shake and bake that hit the ground.
I find it hard to understand how it could even happen.
Shelves emptying.
Oh no. So let's go to the phones. 410-338-1098. Give us a ring if you felt it. If you didn't feel it and you felt left out like us. Dean, good question, and thank you for holding. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
How you
good.
Doing,
thank
buddy?
You for holding, Dean. You've been on hold for a while.
Yeah. Well, I think it's kind of important because, you know, it's a little agitating to me because, you know, you're sitting there listening to your favorite song, you know, and here comes the National Emergency Service with their beeping and, you know, this is just a test and this and that. This was a point in time where I only had a radio. I was incarcerated, and it was during you know the September 11th deal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know entire time.
What were you in for?
Well, we discussed this before. This is Pyro Dean.
Oh, what's up, Pyro Dean?
Hey, it's Pyro Dan.
There he is.
Yes, there he is. You're back. You're incarcerated. September 11th. Set a bunch of fires.
Yeah.
You only have access to a radio.
Right. So, and you know, I got 10 preset stations on there. Not once did they come on with the emergency broadcast system. Not one time. And then, you know, I guess it was around 2012 or 13, we had that other earthquake that went from, like, Georgia up to Maine. Again, no emergency broadcast system. And then the other day, you know, we have another earthquake. Mm-hmm. So what does it take?
It's a very good
for
question.
The emergency broadcast system to be activated.
But isn't it, aren't you getting news coverage right away?
He's in the pen. He was in the pen, he was saying, during September 11th for crying out loud.
He's not exactly a priority among the citizenry, right?
I mean, when it all comes to safe, getting out first, you're in prison.
You're going to just burn to death in a maximum security prison. I mean, when the earth cracks open and swallows us all. Yeah, they're getting puppies, then orphans, then Josh. And then maybe the contents of an FYE in the mall, and then they'll get to Pyro Dean, who I think burnt down a chain of Chuck E. Cheese's at some point. Can't confirm or deny that. I already hung up on him. Now this is a way that the earthquake could have helped out with some sexy time. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, guy. What were you up to yesterday?
I was actually on the bed with myself and I thought a big truck went up the road because we live on a kind of busy road, and my front window shook and everything. I didn't think much of it until I came back out and saw in the news that we had an earthquake.
You're in the middle of pleasuring yourself.
I was.
Wow. Oh, good for you.
Wow. That's...
So the house shook, the window shook. You were like, what the hell is going on? Did you finish?
I thought I just did a really good job.
Did it derail your session, or were you able to finish?
I didn't think anything of it because, like I said, we live on a very busy road. It's nothing for a dump truck, a tractor trailer to drive up the road. The same effect happens between between what happened with the earthquake and a truck running up the road. So I thought nothing of it.
Just kept going
until I came out and I had seen on the news that we had an earthquake.
So how do you know it wasn't just the truck?
Around the same time, the best that could be is coincidental.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not really the point. The point of the story is Spiegel, he was in the middle of masturbating, and he just kept going.
Well, I'd like an investigation.
When he had all cleaned up and pulled up his pants and came out of the room, that's when he realized.
And to think at 4:50, I was sitting down on a pine cone yesterday.
Somebody said, just quickly, North Korea caused the earthquake.
Ah, oh, nuclear testing. Yes,
and then someone says, "I know some people who know some people who know some people who swear they know some people who said we tested a nuclear bomb underground."
Okay.
Not buying.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
All right, so coming up, you're going to hear a break we did yesterday on the show that's sort of a spinoff of something we used to do, but we're told, hey, knock it off. We used to do a long time ago the iTunes Top 10, the most listened to, downloaded, purchased songs on iTunes. And we wouldn't do it every month, but we did it enough. And at one point, we were told by someone here, hey, stop. So we decided to do the Rolling Stone Top 10 2017 songs. Now, this is a song list compiled by Rolling Stone. You'll hear in the break come up, Scott says it. We don't know how they did it. We don't know if it's album sales, downloads, radio spins, concert tickets, whatever. But it's what Rolling Stones considers to be the top 10. And man, most of it's hard to listen to and makes me feel very, very old.
Well, here's a peek into my world. I drive a 12-year-old truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just recently put in a new stereo. I still had a cassette deck.
Wow.
And I didn't have Bluetooth, I didn't have anything. So I finally have Bluetooth. Then I finally got iTunes Music, where it's like you pay $10 a month and you can listen to as much as you want. So I'll like the Future album, that album with Mask Off.
Okay.
I'm like, I'm going to download it because it's just $10. I download all this stuff. I'm like, everything that's like people are listening to and that's considered like one of the best songs of the year. And I'll be driving in my truck, put on the Bluetooth, and I'll just pick up. I'm putting on the Future album. Just going to listen to it. I've done that with so much music that's like hot right now. And I should like this, right? This is hot. People love this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just sitting there and I put it on. I'm just like, I don't know if I'm getting old. I don't know what it is. But I now have the ability to just sample all this new music like nonstop. And I've done it with a ton of albums. And just 2 days later, I just end up like deleting it off my phone. I'm like, nope, don't want to listen to that again. Never going to listen to it again. Didn't do anything for me.
One of the legends here, Sarah Fleischer, was known to do everything she could throughout her long tenure here to try and stay as current as possible by not maintaining that attitude. Oh, music from my time was better than music from your time. And she did her damnedest to stay current. And learning a lesson from the Queen, Sarah Fleischer, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I want to be current. And I want to be not an old man that's yelling at kids on his lawn. But, maybe every generation before me felt like this. You'll hear some stuff coming up. Like the Kendrick Lamar song is fine. The Lord song's fine. Even the Harry Styles song is fine. And what's the other one? U2 is fine. But some of the other stuff, I'm like, man, the quality of composition of this song is not great. And I'll even put this out there. This might even be a great topic to expand upon. Lottie from overseas, our UK representative, the queen of the JSS fan club in England, said, of all those bands we just rattled off, who's going to turn out to be a Zeppelin, a Metallica, a Stones? Who's going to have the staying power of a Jay-Z, of a Beyonce? You think out of that list is, obviously U2 is already part of that. I think out of everybody in there, Kendrick Lamar and Lorde might be the only two, that in 15 years from now will still be putting out worthwhile music. I mean, you think Daddy Yankee and Lil Uzi Vert and Cardi B are going to be around come 2020?
Well, I think about all, and I think it's like my brain works in very weird ways. Like I like Post Malone, and I have his album Stony, and I listen to it quite a bit. But like as the years have gone on, he's gotten like more and more tattoos, and he's like a fringe artist. He's had like moderate success. Like, who is and what is Post Malone like 10 years from now?
If you want, I'll have a 15-minute talk with you about Post Malone next week.
But
I'm fascinated with Post Malone the same way that I was with Stitches like a year ago.
Yeah, like Post Malone picked up. You see these guys that go like they go all in. They're like, I'm all in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pushing all the chips in. I'm getting face tattoos. I'm getting weird tattoos. I'm tattooing all over the place. Music is my life, whether this if it makes it or not. And then it's like, okay, cut to 2027. Am I pulling up to a Sunoco and the guy hops out to pump my gas and I'm like, you
are what? You
Post?
Are you Post Malone?
How much you need? You just because like, you wonder where these people are gonna. There's so many of them and they're so distinct and they have developed such a look and a persona that it doesn't equate to success. So you're like, you're not gonna be around in 5 years, dude. Like, what are you gonna be doing?
Yeah, you're gonna be at some. You know what you're going to be? I'll tell you what they're all going to be. The gathering of the Juggalos.
Yeah,
trying
maybe.
To make a $5,000 payday in front of a bunch of Twisted fans. Hear it now. Make your way through it as best you can, the same way we did. The Rolling Stones' top 10 songs of 2017. So you got the list of the 2017 Rolling Stone top songs of the year. Before we get into it, did you have like a top song of the year? The one that was like, okay, that's pretty great. That's going to stick with me as a song that I remember from 2017 being like, yeah, I'm into that.
It's tough.
Like a number one tune yours? From you. That we played, the one that I love that we got into.
You mean on 98 Rock?
On 98. Oh. And I actually liked it. Some of the stuff I like we play, some of the stuff you don't. You know, personal preference. I loved Run by the Foo Fighters. It was a song that I was like, yeah, this sounds good. And then the more and more I got into it and the more and more I listened to it, man, I would blaze. I would blaze that song when I would leave. I love this tune. Oh, it's in the videos. The videos very Foo Fighters with the old people. Like there's not a lot of good videos anymore, and the video to this is just a 10 out of 10. And plus, there's a lot of days that I
just felt like running.
Just want to run. I can't tell you, Dave Grohl, you're in my head. I just want to run into the woods. Just sprint off into the forest, never to return as I take my clothes off. Yeah, this was a jam for me. This was a jam. So I dug that. And you got yourself a list. You want to go, what do you want to do? Come bounce around a little bit? I got it all up here for you.
We're just going to do top 10. I guess we'll go 10 to 1.
Here we go. Coming up first, Rolling Stones, top 10 songs of the year. This is Future, and most of these I do not recognize by title, but I bet I've heard at my Planet Fitness. This is Mask Off from Future.
Call it how it is.
It's a thing now. You just rap with like a mouthful of gummy bears. Like I can't tell what at the beginning, and not to say that the Notorious B.I.G. was the most eloquent gentleman, but I knew what he was saying. This mumblecore stuff, color me old man, but I can't do it. Okay, next one, we got a Lana Del Rey featuring The Weeknd, one of Mike's favorite acts, Lust for Life.
Climb up the age of the Hollywood sign, yeah, and you stole
it. Is everybody
garbage.
On Ambien?
Garbage.
Like, everybody sounds like they did a line of Lunesta the length of my index finger. Oh, God. All right, here we go. I've never even heard of this cat. Portugal the Man?
It's a band.
Is it a band?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's called a Portugal the Band.
They're actually like a real band. They've been around for a while.
With instruments. Wow.
To keep my hands on myself.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now my hips are moving.
Go dust them off, put them back up on the shelf. Just a little baby
I'm into that. Okay, yeah, that was Portugal the Man.
Wasn't that from a commercial? Didn't how that got big from a commercial or something?
I think it was one of those adult diaper ones where the lady laughs and she always makes a sprinkle in her pants. But, you know, Portugal the Man slapped them depends on her and no longer does she leak. This, God, I'm not even going to say it. You'll know it immediately.
Yeah! Despacito!
Come and move that in my direction. So thankful for that, it's such a blessing, yeah. Turn every situation into heaven, yeah. Oh, you are my sunrise on the darkest day. Got me feeling some kind of way. Make me want to savor every moment slowly. Slowly.
Such a twerp.
You fit me, tell me, love how you put it on.
You know, Bieber might have got the whisper sing thing going. I think Britney did back in the day, but the whole, Enrique Iglesias did it. Lots of people have done it, but 2017 has been the year of like moan your lyrics. Are you passing a kidney stone? Sing up.
So far, so we're swinging and missing here. This is Rolling Stone's top 10 songs of 2017, according to Rolling Stone, and I don't know what this list is based on, and I don't care.
Here we go. Next one, Amigos. Migos featuring Lil Uzi Vert.
Bad and Bougie.
Bad and Bougie.
Raindrops. Drop top. Drop top. Smoking, no cooking, the hot box. Know your bitch, yeah, that. Cooking up in the crock pot. Yeah. We came from nothing to something. Hey. I don't try nobody, grit the trigger. Nobody. Call up the gang and they come and get gang. Cry me a river, give you a tissue. Hey. It's bad and bougie. Bad. Cooking up.
Lil Uzi Vert might be one of the most peculiar looking fellas I've ever seen. He looks like he sold the orcs from Lord of the Rings Molly.
With a Uzi, my n***a's a savage, ruthless. We got 30s and 100 rounds too. My n***a's bad and bougie, bad. Cooking up with a Uzi, my n***a's a savage, ruthless.
Okay, boy, we have come a long way since Tupac. Man, listen, we're a rock station. I get it. Save your stupid text.
Yeah,
but this is just music in general. And you know, again, am I 1,000 years old or are we on the downslide?
Stylistically, I almost feel like hip hop's entering like its own grunge era.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
looking at the rappers and the tattoos and their hair and how they dress, it's almost like they're their own form of grunge.
Yeah, when you went away from the hardcore hair metal, everything was teased up, tons of coke, Viper Room, to flannels and super mopiness and Sonic Youth and all that. That's probably the best comparison I've heard for this modern era of hip hop. All right, let's what we got here. Number 5, Lights Home, U2. Fantastic. Great, moving on to...
Now, this is a song you hate.
Oh,
man. Cardi B, Bodak Yellow.
Hey.
Nicki did it first. Nicki did it better.
You can f*** with me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't want the tools. And I'm quick, cutting off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money.
All right, man, I am taking the family and heading to North Dakota.
Nobody pray for me, it been a day for me.
This is Kendrick Lamar's Humble.
Yeah.
Hey, I remember syrup sandwiches and crime allowances, finessing on them with some counterfeits. But now,
at least his music actually like that. He has substance. Like his lyrics are pretty
Kendrick
profound. Yes.
All right. Now we're actually moving away from the hip hop for these last two ones.
Here you go, Speaks. Last two. It's number two, buddy. Your favorite.
Oh,
what else song is this?
Lordy, lordy, lordy.
Lord. Yeah, all right.
Could have edited out this whole beginning.
A couple rebel top gun pilots flying with the wind.
Were you maybe thinking of the remix?
I have the album.
Ooh, I don't know if this was the original I saw. Well, but I think
nah, this
that
is not it.
All right, that is great.
It's actually really Lord album's fantastic.
Hey, let me actually.
I've been listening to it nonstop.
I'm gonna step forward a little bit and see if tickles my pickle.
Look, I gave my best. That's
like, yeah, wow, that's the exact right same. 5 minutes later, the exact same. And now this is the one that. Yes, you couldn't go into a salon, a Planet Fitness, a CC's Pizza, or your aunt's basement while she put back her fourth glass of Chardonnay. I don't drink, I just have my wine. Let's move forward some, because good Lord, it's 15 minutes of piano. And there we are.
The times. Welcome to the final show. Hope you're wearing your best clothes.
Yeah, I like listening depressing music too. Because my life's not depressing enough.
Yeah, hand me that box cutter over there.
Just add to the mood.
My wrist itches.
All right.
You look pretty.
We apologize. Oh, sorry. Okay, oh, man, hey, man, look, awful. It's not us, people. This is what we're dealing with right now. Top 20 songs. Or top 10 songs 2017. Oh. That's where we're at.
This is what we're going
America,
through.
America should be embarrassed.
Don't text us to hate.
Yeah, please. It ain't it.
It's time to go behind the curtain. With Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Sex. Exercise. Sexercise. Ah. This was one that I was curious as to how it would go because it was sort of an abstract idea where, hey, is anybody out there working out because they had a carrot dangled in front of them that their significant other would start to do funny, weird, off-limits, usually sexual stuff to you if you hit a fitness goal? And it turns out that's the case. We got all kinds of texts and emails and phone calls and stuff like that.
There was one text you'll hear coming up that was like, it's the worst idea. If I'm not hot enough for him now to do those things, that I'm not changing myself for him. Like that's not the point. The
so
point
obviously
is,
that listener ballooned up into the size of a whale.
The point is, like even if it goes the other way, let's say, like, you know, for a man, it's very easy. Like, you know, we're just dumb animals. You know what I mean? And if you had your significant other say to you, like, hey, for every I'm happy you're going to the gym, and you know what, just like for a little more added incentive, every night you go to the gym this week, when you come home and get out of the shower, I'll help you out a little bit.
Yeah, well,
I'm going to the gym a lot that week, right?
Yeah.
Like, why is that an unhealthy thing?
Yeah, like if it was like, because obviously sex slows down in a relationship after month six. It goes from 4 times a week to 2 times a week. After kid number one, it goes away for a while, comes back. Kid number three, it's a long distant memory. So to maybe kind of get someone there, it reinvigorates your sex life.
It could get you healthy.
It could get you healthy. And there was an article, damn it, I wish I would have had it in front of me, about why post-workout sex is the best sex you can have. To where, like, if the minute you get in, quick shower, and you hop on top of each other and start wrangling around, it's like the best thing you can do. So here's some stories now of couples that said to each other, hey, if you tighten up, you can get beneath these sheets with me. I'm behind the curtain. So Scott's running. He sees a beautiful woman running by, and he's thinking to himself, man, she's in amazing shape. Maybe if I got in that kind of shape, maybe I could go home. And Jaquita might say, hey, that one weird thing you want to do with the head harness and a running start, I might just let you. And then we threw it out there. You ever been given the carrot dangled in front of you? Hey, if you get yourself in a certain amount of shape, if you finally hit that fitness goal, I'll let you fitness up in this.
The hardest part of working out is like the motivation.
Uh-huh.
If you had, you know, if your motivation was, you know, that,
uh-huh,
that's a pretty strong motivation.
Yeah, I mean, if my motivation was
penis,
then I'm going to be really hitting the ab machine.
Somebody says they lost 100 pounds, and his girlfriend finally let him role play.
Whoa! As what? The Witcher 3?
She went to sleep one night. He dressed in all black, broken through the window, and took her.
Whoa! That kind of fantasy?
Well, it might not have been like, you know, that.
Like a naughty cat burglar.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with that.
She played along, but afterwards she was so freaked out that it was the last time they did it, and now he's up 50 pounds.
You screwed her up with your treat, and now you completely ruined it.
This is here.
This is a great one. Sister-in-law and her boyfriend would give each other the good favor when one of them would go to the gym. And whoever went to the gym that day received the good favor. And if they both went to the gym, then they would have sex.
Steven says, I didn't lose weight for the sex, but my wife definitely, quote unquote, noticed my hard work, heavy duty winky face. So it wasn't even an unspoken thing. You started letting them lats pop out, them traps thicken up. And the next thing you know, she's throwing you to floor like you put a cowboy hat on in the new episode of Curb.
And this is expanding it a little bit. It's not exercise, but it's a pretty interesting thing. Is that one summer I did something new in the bedroom every time my extremely picky husband tried a new food. Worked like a charm.
Oh.
Got him to try all these new foods by just doing a little something extra in the bedroom. Hey, if you try this tonight, we do that.
There are certain things.
He's eating up.
That if Buck agreed to, I would
right,
eat
this
a
is what I'm talking about.
Crock pot of blue
Think
cheese.
Think about it. This is how you motivate.
I would put a twisty straw into a cup of blue cheese.
Yes.
If there were certain things that I got to do to the missus that would have her stand at work.
This was 260, lost 80 pounds, put 20 pounds of muscle on. The wife loved it. Happily gave me the good kind of motivation, more frequent.
Chris Pancher.
And sex 3 to 5 times a week. This is a 31-year-old married man with 2 kids. And look at what it did. Look at what it did for him.
Hey, you know what? The juice is worth the squeeze. The end game. You guys are both hooking up. You guys are both looking better, and I think it heals a relationship.
One more text.
Please.
It is the flip side of this coin. Sex for weight loss is a horrible idea.
Okay.
If my man says that it makes me think I'm not hot enough for him to want to do that now, I think I need to change myself to attract him.
Gotcha. I mean, we all change in a relationship. You look completely different than when you met Chiquita. Mike, good Lord, your transformation from when you met Tangaray. I remember your odyssey to the bodybuilding competition. What was like the one question I kept asking you? Is she crawling all over you like a jungle gym? Yeah,
and the answer was always no.
Big fat no.
The answer was always no.
It would no with 17 O's after the N. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Christian in Delaware first. Christian, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
We're okay.
I'm good. I'm actually in Baltimore right now, but I'm from Delaware.
Oh, shout out.
I work in Baltimore every day. I listen to you guys. Hour 45-minute ride at least every day.
My man. There we go.
And you guys need to work on that fart soundboard, man, because that 3-second fart he did was epic.
It was? You mean this one right here? You're welcome.
My story is actually the exact opposite of what you're talking about. I blew my right knee out and put on about 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And my fiance loved it.
Wow.
Oh.
I went from six pack to keg.
Okay.
And
yeah.
She was happy as could be. And now I'm back to six pack. And we've gone down from 2-3 nights a week to maybe once a week.
Wow. Man, she likes you chubby.
Wow. That's cool. She's always
back up.
Come on. Moon bounce. All right. Yeah, get fatten back up. You get rid of the six pack. Yeah, yeah. Start beating up that Krispy Kreme in the pizone. Let's go to Dave in Essex. We're about to get some of the dark side of this. Let's go to Dave in Essex. Good morning.
Oh no.
Morning.
Morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, David.
All right. So I kind of got the flip side of it, unfortunately.
Okay.
So baby was born back in January. Shout out, baby. So of course, when a newborn is born, of course, they're taking a million pictures of you. So I'm looking, and my significant other goes, you need to lose some weight. I said, okay. So get a gym membership, all that good stuff, start going 5 days a week, get into the thick of it, you know, training, all that good stuff. Lose 50 pounds, right?
Wow, good
for
you.
Then she starts getting, hey, thanks. She starts getting suspicious because I'm going before work, and I'm normally kind of a late for work kind of guy, so waking up at 5 is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks you're waking up at 5 a.m. to go crush some ass?
Oh, she thinks you're creeping on a side slice?
Hey,
what?
Sweet ass, you listen to this. She goes, let me go with you one morning. I said, yeah, no problem. I got a group of like 5 people that we all go every morning. And she walks around, sees her mortal enemy from high school, who she's just a bombshell and everything.
Oh, no.
And she's also a personal trainer there. So I go, hey, Amanda, you might want to get hooked up with this girl, blah, blah, blah. She, oh, my gosh. We get home that night. Denied for at least 2 weeks.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
to do with you?
Yeah, I think we've all been there, guys.
Here. We've all been there. We've all accidentally had our current girlfriend run into their high school rival who's a trainer at the gym. A tale as old as time.
My favorite part of that call was shout out, baby.
Shout out, baby.
That's great.
Shout out, baby. Oh, let's take one more here. And man, the ladies are going to love this fella. Let's talk to Romeo himself, Dave in Sykesville. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, you romantic you?
Yeah, well, it ain't sexy I had to contend with, but my girlfriend was like really trying to get herself motivated to lose weight. I told her, you know, as a motivation, and it came out completely wrong. I says, you lose 20 pounds and we'll get married.
Oh, if you lose weight, I'll marry you.
Yeah, it's just a different phrasing. Like you were trying, right? That's yes.
You
Yeah. Well, we're no longer together, obviously.
You think?